world is becoming more unglued by the day. Local consequences are now showing up. We are seeing sky-high gas prices, higher food prices, shortages, and more. How should you respond? Go to redpills.tv/patriot. That's redpills.tv/patriot. And secure your long-term emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is by far the largest preparedness company in America. They're in stock and shipping quickly in unmarked boxes to your door. Their emergency food supplies last up to 25 years in storage. When you need it, it'll be there. Lunches, dinners, drinks, and snacks totaling over 2,000 calories a day. Get free shipping on any order over $99. Again, go to redpills.tv/patriot. The global financial system is on the verge of collapse. Here in the United States of America, we have rising inflation, rising cost of goods and services from gas to food. We have supply chain disruptions. We have the incompetent presidency of the United States of America running the U.S. dollar into the ground by debasing it, by radicalized spending and printing. There is only one thing in this world right now that is a worthy investment that has been the hedge for inflation year after year. Guys, that's gold and silver. Look, I invest in gold and silver, and there's no reason why you should not either. My buddy, Dr. Kirk Elliott, is an economist and financial advisor, and he is amazing at what he does by helping you get your 401ks, your IRAs, or just helping you purchase gold and silver bullion. You can give him a call at 720-605-3900 or go to getgoldtoday.com and let him know that Josh from the Red Pill Project sent you.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to everybody's favorite new show on the Red Pill Project, Morning Coffee with Andrea and Vince. This is the show where we bring you the news and events of the morning every morning, Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. Pacific, 11:30 a.m. Eastern. We go through the stuff that really matters, the hard-hitting news, the real breakdowns of what's going on, none of that fake mumbo-jumbo that you get on the mainstream, like the dead CNN Plus, Fox News even nowadays, can't trust none of them. So we're here to try to bring the truth and reality. Of course, I'm joined by Andrea Kreft, the one and only here. Thank you, Andrea, for joining me. How are you this morning? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Good morning, everybody. I am well, a little sunburned because the weather here was fantastic. But other than that, I am good and I will heal nicely. I've got my aloe plant that I tried to torture last night by taking some of its leaf.
Nice.
So I can doctor myself. Thank goodness for aloe plants.
Yeah, they're
even
awesome.
My son did tell me, he's like, Mom, that looks like snot. Like, well, it feels fantastic, so does it matter?
Awesome. We had a little bit of sun here, believe it or not. Pretty cool.
Nice. That's unusual for where you're at. Usually it's overcast, cloudy.
At least 50% of the time. I was looking at the statistics. About 50% of the time it's cloudy or raining.
It's depressing.
Yeah, and then I'm going to be moving out even closer, even further out towards the forest and coast, and it's like two-thirds of the time it's cloudy or rainy.
You need to get yourself one of those sun machines and set it up on your desk.
I do, for sure.
They say it helps with depression in the Pacific Northwest.
Nice. Yeah, that would be
the
good.
The ocean is lovely.
I do all the vitamins and stuff, that's for sure. But I did notice we're celebrating Ye's 2-month sub streak on DLive. Thank you, Ye, for your support. And good morning, everybody else, and including Ye. Good morning. I hope you all have your hot drinks ready. We're going to go into things. As usual, we start with finance. Wah, wah. And then we move on. We don't have a lot of finance to talk about. But
it's too depressing.
But there's a little bit to talk about. It's important to visit, see where we're at, see where we stand. So let's jump into it, I suppose. We do have quite a bit to get through.
We do.
Yeah, let's do it. It's Monday. What else? I feel like I might be forgetting something, but maybe not. I guess let's just move forward.
Perfect.
Actually, I did want to say something before we start, and that is I saw this really cool post on Twitter by, I forget her name, but I'll have to get it. But basically it was saying, it was talking about psychology and positivity and these kinds of things and like things that come up that stress you out in your day to day. And it was really cool. The point made was something along the lines of framing these stressful events in your life positively so that when you get that panic or you get that stress, you could just be like, instead of freaking out and really taking it hard, you could flip it around in like a positive light, kind of like just your outlook, and be like, I'm going to crush this. I'm going to defeat this. I'm going to get through this. Basically, instead of stress being stressful and detrimental to your health, you flip it to look at it differently to conquer it. And I was like, that's really cool. I like that.
Yep.
And it reminded me of people that don't like panic attacks when they eat edibles or something. And I'm telling you, it's fine.
You'll get through it.
You'll get through it.
I try to do that too. You know, when I look at stuff, and sometimes it's really hard because the news is really depressing. And I'm like, how do you put a good spin on this? Like, how do you, like, there's mornings where I wonder, I'm like, I look at the news and I'm pulling all this stuff for you guys. And I'm like, how am I supposed to get on this show and smile? Like, there's nothing to smile about. And then I'm like, sometimes something as simple as a smile can just make things better. And you know what? Even if I am delivering depressing news, you know, think about all the stuff that we're learning from this.
Yeah.
You know, if nothing else, take that from it, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. So try to stay positive out there. You know, we all are. We all struggle, highs and lows. But what could we do? Tis life.
Yep.
Can't have the good without the bad. The yin
Keep
without
marching
the yang.
Forward.
Absolutely. All right, so I feel like I'm ready now to move forward.
Okay, perfect. On to finance.
Yeah, let's check it out. Oh, shoot. All right, let me know if I still have an echo. The markets are not doing good today, you guys. They're right back to red. I think we had one day of green. And they're like, everything's fixed. No. We
no,
know
it's not.
The S&P 500 is down 0.74%. The Dow is down 0.45%. NASDAQ is down 1.38%. Crude oil is at $111.
So there's something that's in the green.
Oh, yay. That's great. Hopefully that continues and we could pay $10 per gallon soon.
Right.
Gold and silver are up. Gold is at $1,813. Silver is at $21.51. And it's kind of where we stand there. I thought this was kind of interesting, just a little what's happening this week. We have retail sales, Walmart earnings, and more Fed speak, what to know this week, written by Yahoo Finance. And they say the retail sector will be in focus this week after a string of wild trading sessions on Wall Street. Quarterly financials from megastores Walmart and other consumer giants are in the queue, in addition to April's retail sales report scheduled for release Tuesday. So we're going to have retail sales report tomorrow. We'll see what happens there. I guess we'll review it tomorrow. Investors will tune in for additional remarks from Federal Reserve officials, including Jerome Powell, in the weeks ahead, as inflation continues to run hot across the U.S. economy. Friday capped the sixth straight down week for U.S. equities following a vicious streak of selling. Renewed concerns over consistent elevated price levels and the prospect of an economic slowdown stirred up further turbulence in markets. The major indexes rallied to turn positive in the last session, but remained near 2022 lows after the S&P fell below 4,000, hovering near bear market territory for much of the week. It was defined as a close of at least 20% from the recent high record. So here's a chart showing this we're starting to go down. The Dow, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ, they're all on a downward trend, which means we're headed towards a technical recession. Of course, it's going to be the greatest Great Depression we've ever witnessed, probably, a lot of people think. We'll see.
I did see a headline this morning, or no, I think Tom was telling me about a headline this morning that said that the recession that we're heading into is going to be like a mini recession, and it's not going to be anywhere close to even what it was back in 2008. I'm like, no, it's going to be far worse.
it's a transitory recession.
Yeah, exactly.
The hell out of here. We don't believe nothing nobody says. What?
I know. Fluff420 donated a diamond to us. It said, happy Monday, Vince Neil.
Hey, thank you, Fluff.
Happy Monday. Thank you for the diamond. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Thank you so much.
At least somebody's throwing diamonds my direction.
Woo! Diamonds. I don't want diamonds. I want gold.
Right?
Just kidding.
Buy me silver.
Diamonds are great. Thank you. We'll see. I'm curious to see these reports tomorrow. Who knows what it'll be. If I had to guess, I'd say negative or lies. But
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, exactly.
Times are definitely tough right now for a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, and you know, here's the thing. Looking at Walmart's retail sales, honestly, isn't going to give you a good idea of where the market's at. Because, let's face it, when people have less money, where do they shop? Walmart.
The Walmart. Or so. My grandmother would say the Walmart.
The Walmart. For your local communists.
Right? And all their stuff from China, of course. And, well, we could go on about Walmart for an episode or two or three, but.
Well, let's not.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah. So let's get out of this topic. Let's go into U.S. news, world news, health, and a little bit of science to touch on here at the end of the show. U.S. news.
This one's a funny one.
Andrea, please take it away.
All right. It says, watch. Anthony Fauci says he'll resign if Donald Trump returns to power. This is hilarious because I don't think he's going to get a chance to resign if Donald Trump returns to power. I think Donald Trump is going to fire him right away.
This is cool. It should have another alternative headline could be Anthony Fauci endorses Trump.
Right. You know, it is curious, though, that they're talking about this even because it leads me to believe that they may suspect that he is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
It says that if he's reelected in 2024, he says if Trump were to return to the White House as president and COVID was still a threat or there was some other public health emergency, this is a person asking the question, would you have confidence in his ability to deal with a pandemic of this nature? Would you want to stay on at your post? And this is Acosta asking Fauci. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, no to the second question, Fauci added. He says that we're going to let history speak for itself. Okay. Yeah, history is going to label you a genocidal maniac. That's what history is going to do.
Yeah.
So he's basically saying he wouldn't stay. He'd resign. And he had to correct Trump on multiple issues multiple times. That's a bunch of crap.
I want to hear Trump's response. Trump would probably be like,
right.
Fauci, you wouldn't be there to help with the next pandemic because you'd be in jail.
Right? Most likely I would expect that it's possible maybe that Trump will release a statement in regards to this or a rebuttal because I think he likes to do that. But we'll see.
That'd be fun.
I just thought it was hilarious.
What a joke.
No, you won't. You're going to be fired.
I'm not fired. I quit.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like he clearly doesn't actually care about health. Otherwise, he'd be like, I'm going to help people with health no matter what, no matter who's in charge. No, he has no integrity. He is a joke of a human, a disgrace, a crook, a criminal, and should be held
accountable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't like him. I don't like that Fauci guy.
No. Fraudchi,
yeah. All right.
Flip-flop Fraudchi.
So that's some good news, actually. Wow.
Yeah. See, we're starting Monday off on a great note.
Rhino, Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich. I feel like they're missing a Vowel. Yeah. Brunovich colluded with feds to prosecute pro-Trump citizens in Arizona after 2022 election, fails to prosecute real election crimes. Rhinos are infested in our country. The Arizona Attorney General claims to be on the side of the election of election integrity and even claims that he will prosecute individuals for 2020 election crimes. However, new documents show that AG Mark Brunovich almost indicted pro-Trump electors in Arizona. Wow. Instead of investigating the horrific election crimes that took place on November 3rd to steal the 2020 presidential election, Rhino Mark Brunovich colluded with the federal government and targeted Arizona patriots who knew their election was stolen. The full forensic audit of Maricopa County's 2020 election discovered evidence of hundreds of thousands of fraudulent votes.
Yep.
What a rhino.
Yeah, this is a fairly long article, and it goes on about the different election frauds, too. But mm-hmm. you guys can catch all of it in the recap and stuff.
The election fraud's rampant. We're all well aware after watching the hit new documentary, 2000 Mules. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's just
Definitely. Damning
to a really high degree.
Yep.
Pretty much without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. You are still echoing, too. So.
Oh, sorry. That's
not sure your sound if you want.
Okay, yeah. I'll make sure I do that.
Just FYI.
Thank you. Yeah, check out 2000 Mules, y'all.
Definitely.
If you haven't.
It'll make you mad, but, you know, maybe it's the fire that people need lit underneath of them. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm ready for indictments. I'm ready for...
I think we all are.
Good news. Yeah, yep. I've been ready for years. Andrea?
All right. It's called Silence the Voices of Hatred. New York Governor Hochul uses Buffalo massacre to renew calls for censorship of social media. Imagine that. Politicians have long viewed tragedies and crises as opportunities not to be wasted. Most recently, Samantha Power, Biden's administration of the United States Agency for International Development, told ABC that they did not want to waste the war in Ukraine as a way of pushing green initiatives, of course. She explained to George Stephanopoulos that you should never let a crisis go to waste. Governor Kathy Hochul adopted the same approach to the massacre in Buffalo and renewing calls for censorship on the internet. While many drew the connection between the shooting and the need for greater gun control measures, Hochul notably went further to demand the curtailment of free speech protections. Speaking later at a church, she pledged to silence the voices of hatred and racism and white supremacy all over the internet. Yeah, good luck with that. So, you know, this is just, we see the ramping up of these false flag events with these shootings. How many of them have we had? There was another one in California.
Holy mackerel.
This weekend, too.
A handful.
They're just all over the place. And that's what they're trying to do, is they're trying to ramp up free speech and they're trying to ramp up gun control. You know, what I find really ironic about this whole thing is they're like, you've got these pro-abortionists that are out there, pro-choicers, who are, well, just because you stop abortions doesn't mean it's going to stop them. Women are still going to get them. They just won't be safe.
Yeah.
Same thing could be said about gun control. Yes. Same thing can be said about free speech. We don't have a free speech problem. We don't have a gun problem. What we have is there's too many laws problem. You don't uphold the laws that we currently have problem. And you don't do anything to keep guns out of the hands of criminals problem. You know, we've already got laws in place.
I think
they're all unconstitutional, but they're there.
I think the pinnacle of all of the problems that we see in our country today stem from the mass psychosis issue that was brought up recently. I think it's all having to do with psychology and manipulation and corruption.
It's my body, my choice until it comes to vaccines.
And we're actually, this is probably like the extent of that we're going to be covering these drama-filled shootings and abortion. It's worth a mention because it is a big thing that's happening, but I don't know
if
you feel this.
It's a distraction.
Huh?
It's a distraction.
It's a distraction, and it's a part of, I feel like a conspiracy to drive things a certain direction, to cause disarray, to cause division, and push other agendas that are distracting. And I think it's fueled by, it appears to be fueled by people like three-letter agencies, a lot of people are saying. And it's not something I want to focus on. I'm sure we all find plenty of material out there covering all that stuff. And we'll probably touch on it tonight again with Joshua Reed on the Daily Dose. But it's just, I'm like over it. After this weekend, I'm already over it. And I barely even talked about it. But I just read a lot. I read a lot about it and looked a little bit into the things. And it's Wonderland.
I didn't even spend that much time looking at it other than the fact that I saw the headlines.
Yeah, I wanted to, just in case we talk deeper into it. But and I wanted to know if the allegations people were making were true. I was like, what the heck? It's a whole thing. But Fluff donated another diamond. Ready for in diamonds. I'm not sure what you mean by that. But thanks a lot. Durham today. Of course, we have that coming up as well. Photomoto followed us. Thank you, Photomoto. Photomoto, I like your name. And Fluff 420 donated 9 ice creams. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
So, onward here. What have we got next? What else is happening?
This week's Spygate trial is bad news for Hillary Clinton. So it says, despite machinations attempting to hide the full truth of how Spygate conspiracies to entrap Donald Trump were spun, lots will come out into the open.
Yes. Yeah.
So we've got, I believe, the Sussman trial is beginning this week, if I'm correct. Subpoenaed Fusion GPS employee Laura Sego is likely to stay mum during questioning at the criminal trial of Michael Sussman that starts this week. Her silence will be yet further evidence that the Hillary Clinton campaign financed and seeded the Russia collusion hoax to both the press and U.S. intelligence agencies. Jury selection is scheduled to begin this morning in a D.C. federal court in the criminal case against former Clinton campaign attorney Michael Sussman. While Sussman faces a single charge of making a false statement to former FBI General Counsel James Baker, proof of that federal crime requires prosecutors to show Sussman lied when he shared Alpha Bank data and white papers with Baker, telling the FBI lawyer that he was not acting on behalf of a client. To prove that lie, Durham's team, led by longtime prosecutor Andrew DeFlippis, will present evidence to the jury that Sussman, in fact, was acting on behalf of two clients, the Clinton campaign and tech executive Rodney Joff. The special counsel has already previewed much of the evidence and intends to present over the course of the expected two-week trial. Prosecutors will first seek to establish the Alpha Bank hoax, a conspiracy theory that claimed Donald Trump had established a secret communication channel with Russia based Alpha Bank, originated with Sussman's client Joff, but was then shared with the Clinton campaign through its Perkins and Coy attorneys. The testimony of Georgia Tech researcher David Dagon, whom the special counsel gave immunity to last summer, will be key in this regard. So, and it goes on to talk about this hoax and stuff, but basically it relates to the Fusion GPS emails that the judge went over. We covered this last week, and how they were not able to protect a lot of those documents through attorney-client privilege because the judge determined that they had nothing to do with attorney-client relations.
Yes. So
will be interesting. This is good news. See more good news for Monday.
It's going to be cool to watch this unfold. See what
it is. And you know, honestly, now I seriously doubt that anybody's going to speak out against Hillary Clinton because we know what her record is of, you know, taking care of people like that. But I would say that this is just one more nail in the coffin of her own innocence being, or lack of innocence being proven. There's a real possibility that she could be held accountable for this. I don't know how she's going to not be held accountable. So we'll just see how this turns out. This is not over by a long shot. The one thing that I do know about Durham is, and I read a very long article on about him a year or two ago, is that some of the cases that he has lasts years. He's known for going after the mafia and the mob.
Yep.
And he's got an almost perfect win streak when it comes to that, because he is methodical, he is diligent, he does not give up, he doesn't speak about his cases because he doesn't want his stuff getting thrown out. And so he's very, very good. And I've always trusted what he could do, even though it is a very long process. Now, this is something that could potentially go on for years. So I don't expect to see anything with Hillary right away, but I guarantee you he is like a dog with a bone. He is not going to give this up.
Yeah, I think his strategy is more long term, like you said, but I think it's meticulous and planned. Mm-hmm. And
he's got to go after the lower level guys first before he hits the hard hitters. And that's just the simple truth of the matter. Is he starts at the bottom and he works his way up. And that's exactly what he did with the mafia. And that's why he was successful. So
yeah, he's the right guy.
He is. He really is.
Fascinating. We'll be keeping our eye on that for sure.
Yes, definitely. Okay.
Michael Flynn files $50 million claim against feds in prelude to lawsuit over Russia probe. This was interesting. Former Trump National Security Advisor retired general alleges malicious prosecution, political motivation, and abuse of process by FBI, DOJ, the Obama White House, and Special Counsel Robert Mueller. $50 million. In a prelude to a formal lawsuit, former Trump National Security Advisor Michael Flynn has quietly filed a $50 million claim against the FBI and Justice Department for malicious prosecution related to the now discredited Russia collusion investigation. The notification, known as Form 95 Civil Claim, obtained by Just the News, was filed February 22nd. It names the DOJ, FBI, U.S. Attorney Office in Washington, D.C., Special Counsel Robert Mueller's office, and the Executive Office of the President as potential defendants in the alleges former President Barack Obama and the FBI had a vendetta against him that biased their actions. This is quite an article. So this is going to be unfolding as well.
This is another piece of good news, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. all of this shows a pattern.
Yeah.
Of corruption and conspiracy within our government and our law enforcement, our federal law enforcement agencies. And there's no way, when all of this is said and done, what we're going to see is going to be huge. When this whole when people finally are able to put this whole picture together, what they're going to see is going to be astronomical, I think. And mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing. The problem that we have now is that this stuff is currently happening, and there's more stuff that's going to currently happen. So it's like building the puzzle, you know, and we're getting these pieces put in place, but the puzzle isn't complete yet. And so how long that it's going to take to put this puzzle together is anybody's guess, but it's been decades in the making to get us to this point. And so it's not going to be something that is unfortunately not going to be easily torn apart.
Right. Things aren't going to be better tomorrow.
No.
But there are a lot of things in the fire.
Yeah. And we are seeing more good come from this, you know.
And I think he has a good chance of winning this because mm-hmm. everyone already knows Russia's a lie. Russia hoax was a lie, and that actually the Dems are colluding with Russians and whatnot.
Exactly. Well, and you know, the Michael Sussman case, honestly, once that goes through, they can use that and say, look at this. This shows that they were biased in how they treated me and, you know, the charges that were brought against me. And mm-hmm. you got to remember, they crucified Michael Flynn. Yeah. Regardless of what you think of him, nobody should be treated that way, especially somebody who has served in our military, you know, to the great extent that he has and has accomplished as much as he has.
Yeah, he was certainly attacked. And I was saying, so like with Russia already being debunked, mm-hmm. at least the collusion, I think the collusion actually being a large part on the Democrat side. There could be more to that story, but I think there's enough out there now that he could win this case easily. And like you said, utilize everything he has at his disposal.
Yeah.
So fascinating. And he deserves it, too. They destroyed his life.
Yeah, they did. He went bankrupt over this whole thing. His family almost went bankrupt over this.
Yeah.
So I hope he wins his case.
Yep. Drunken Pelosi, the gin-soaked raisin herself, ramps up perks like Peloton, liquor store, while Americans scramble for baby formula. This was ridiculous.
Isn't this awful? I could not believe when I heard about this. I was just absolutely blown away. She is actually putting a liquor store in the House of Representatives. It's going to be open from like 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning or whatever it is.
Yeah, like
for people to go buy drinks. I'm like, are you kidding me? While Americans are sitting here struggling, this is what our tax money is going to pay for.
A liquor store.
And a Peloton membership. Because, I mean, hell, I can't even afford a gym membership, more or less one of those expensive-ass Peloton things. And the membership that goes along with that. But I'm so glad that I could buy that for Nancy Pelosi and her cronies, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it just absolutely makes me livid when I see this stuff like that. It's government abuse at the highest level.
Yep. Anyway,
I don't want to spend too much time on that.
Okay.
I'm done.
Rant over.
Yep. This was interesting. Defense attorneys for January 6th protesters eyeing 80 suspicious actors and material witnesses.
Wow.
So it's actually the defense attorneys. It says for some of those arrested during the January 6, 2021 false flag riot at the U.S. Capitol building is focusing on at least 80 suspicious actors and material witnesses as they prepare their cases, lending further proof that what happened that day was fomented by the anti-Trump deep state.
Mm-hmm.
As reported by the Epoch Times, the attorneys want to identify those suspicious actors and witnesses, some of whom have been involved in an entrapment operation, likely on behalf of the FBI, since that is all that agency is good for, against the Patriot Group Oath Keepers during the riot. In addition, others under scrutiny by the defense attorneys may also have also illegally removed security fencing, breached police lines before attacking officers, and inciting others to storm the Capitol. Mm-hmm. In a motion and supplement filed after 11 p.m. on May 5th in federal court in Washington, attorney Brad Geyer listed 80 people, some of whom he said could be government agents or provocateurs.
Yeah.
The Epoch Times reported the people are seen on video operating in a coordinated fashion across the Capitol grounds on January 6th, the attorney alleges. So there's evidence out there. The problem is that nobody's seeing it, and these people are...
we saw it as it unfolded. Antifa was there.
Yeah.
John Sullivan was there. Mainstream media was even... Members of the mainstream media and Antifa were inside the Capitol building that day as well. None of them are in jail. Actually, they've all been let out.
They were arrested and released right away. So, you know, I really hope that we see an end to this. And I hope that every single person who was jailed after this January 6th event is still sitting in there. I hope they sue the shit out of the government.
Mm-hmm.
I do. Because if I got to send $40 billion to Ukraine, then we sure as hell can afford to pay for these people's lives being stolen. Like, I'm fine with my tax money going towards that.
Yeah, me too.
I'd rather it go to Americans who were persecuted than Ukrainians who are laundering money.
Back to Pelosi.
Yeah. So she can get her Peloton membership.
So she can get a bottle of vodka at 8 a.m.
Ugh. So hopefully, you know, this is another one of those things that I think is going to just drag out, unfortunately. And
yeah, they're going to do everything they can to squash it and fight it. But 80 suspicious actors. I wonder how many of them are three-letter agency people and how many of them are Antifa or colluding with
I suspect a good portion of them, and I would say somehow we got this in there twice, I'm not sure how, but I would suspect that even some of them were probably Capitol police officers.
Yeah, Definitely. Yes. Women's March tweeted this out yesterday. They said, "Our summer of rage is officially beginning. We're prepared to rage for Roe all summer, culminating in a women's convention in Houston, Texas. We won't rest until abortion rights are protected." Learn more here. They are declaring a summer of rage.
This is, in my opinion, this is an act of war.
Well, it's definitely inciting violence, I would say.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it is.
Yep. New Bot Sentinel, a platform that monitors millions of Twitter accounts, estimates that 10 to 15% of all accounts on Twitter are inauthentic. So this is interesting since Elon Musk has put his deal on hold until a more accurate count of the bots can be determined. Twitter came out and said that only about 5% of their platform was bots. Turns out it's probably at least 10 to 15%. I suspect it's even higher. Mm-hmm. You know, if they got rid of all the bots, I saw one estimate that said that if they got rid of all of the bots on Twitter, that Joe Biden's followers would fall by half.
Probably more.
I suspect that it's more.
I went and started looking at his followers yesterday because I saw Elon Musk tweeting about this the last few days saying if everybody kind of looked at everybody else's accounts, like accounts that have mm-hmm. a lot of followers,
yeah.
and just do like a binocular assessment and look at these accounts to determine mm-hmm. if they may be bots or not, he said we could probably get a good idea of the actual percentage of bot accounts. So finally yesterday I went through illegitimate President Joe Biden's followers, and I selected ones that had, like, not randomly, but I would look at the usernames and what it said underneath the username, and I would select based on that. I selected ones that were blank, and I selected, like, weird names that I'm like, who would want that name kind of names? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, dumb names. Like, random letters and numbers, or just a name that you wouldn't choose. Like,
right.
first choice, per se. I probably looked at 10 accounts, and 8 of them were accounts with 30 or less followers, or accounts that were following, like, 35 or less people, and had 0 followers or very, very low followers, like 2 or 3, and no posts, and maybe liked 2 or 3 posts.
Yeah.
So inactive accounts.
Yeah, they're all bots. It's just, you know, that's what they're doing.
80% of what
that's
I looked
pretty
at.
Kind of a random sampling.
Kind of random.
Yeah.
I don't know. Can you believe that? He might only have 5 million followers. But
it's definitely, I don't even think it's even close to the 80 million they said even voted for him.
Yeah.
There's no way.
So there's a huge bot problem. Everyone knows it. It's really interesting to see how that's going to affect Twitter's purchase from mm-hmm. Elon Musk, or Elon Musk's purchase of Twitter.
Even though Donald Trump is not convinced he's actually going to buy Twitter. Just FYI.
Interesting. Yeah, people are skeptical. World news. China announces slow lifting of brutal Shanghai lockdown.
Finally, after a while.
Yep. They announced in a press conference on Sunday they would begin to lift the month-long total lockdown of China's largest city in phases, claiming only some businesses would enjoy the right to function and leaving open the possibility for a renewed mass house arrest order at any time. Yeah, leave it up to China, right?
Yeah. And you got to remember, these people have literally been locked in their house. They were not allowed to go outside at all. So it didn't matter if you have a balcony. You're not allowed to go outside. It doesn't matter if you have pets. If you managed to get away with, you know, keeping your pet alive, you were not allowed to bring it outside. They had to defecate and stuff in the house. It's just unbelievable.
Wow.
And I suspect that they're doing this because people are fighting back. And it'll probably go to about a month. Excuse me. And then you'll see more lockdowns.
Yeah.
That's my suspicion.
I think it's China's deep state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. So it says it's official. Zelensky signs law this weekend banning opposition parties and seizing their property. You want to talk about totalitarian dictatorships? This right here is a perfect example. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky signed into law number 7172-1 that will ban opposition parties and seize their property on Saturday. The law targets opposition parties if they deny the armed aggression against Ukraine. The law includes actions that support the Russian Federation and Republic of Belarus, the two invading countries. The news was first published on the Ukrainian news website, UKR Inform. So he basically, anybody that disagrees with their state propaganda or the Azov Battalion is going to be banned and they have their property seized. This is what dictators do.
Yep.
Flat out. Communist dictators act like this.
Yeah, who does he think he is, Trudeau?
Right? I mean, that's really what this all boils down to. That, yeah. And, you know, is it possible that we could see that here in the U.S. and Canada? I would say at this point, yeah. I definitely, you know, and not to really dig too much into this whole into the cue boards, but you know, they talk about the first arrest, right? And people have long suspected that it would be Donald Trump. What if it's a scenario like this that brings that about? You know, first arrest will shock the world. What would be more shocking to the world than Donald Trump being arrested in opposition of the party? You know,
there's a lot of theories. Yeah, that would
it
be
is
one.
And it's just a theory.
I have other scary theories too that are even scarier than that.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I don't want to share it because they're so fucked up.
Yeah. Possibly. You know, it's just one of those things that none of us know, and it's all supposition. And like I said, it's not something I wanted to dig too deeply into. I'm not an expert on the cue boards by any means. I followed them as much as I followed Josh about it.
Thanks for that. Russian lawmaker says Poland is next in line for denazification. This was interesting. A Russian lawmaker has issued a fiery warning that Warsaw is next in line for denazification after Poland's prime minister penned an op-ed calling Russia's imperialist Ruski Mir ideology a cancer, consuming Russian society and a deadly threat to other countries. Sorry, I had to sneeze. Wow. So this is really interesting. I wonder if they're just talking crap or if we're going to see some action taken here, actually.
It could very well be. And I think a lot of this is it's just more war games, you know, whether...
For sure.
It's very possible that once they're done with their special operation in Ukraine, that Poland is next. I mean...
Yeah.
Poland is right there and has kind of, you know, showed support. They've taken in a lot of Ukrainians as refugees and stuff. But
I wonder, could they go to Poland without, could they go to Poland and not have retaliation from other countries as well? Just like they did with Ukraine? Or I'm not sure. I have to look into it.
You know, I'm not real sure. I'm honestly not a war expert by any means.
Me either. It just came to mind right now. I need to look into it.
Yeah, definitely. But I do think that it's interesting to start to see some of this escalation, right? And it's flooding over into other countries. And it could be that members of the Azov Battalion were among those refugees that went to Poland, and Russia knows that.
Yeah, and so, I guess from what I could tell, Poland is a part of NATO.
Yes. Yeah, it is. And so it's a good chance that some of these people escaped to Poland because they knew they were going to lose in the Ukraine. It's hard to say.
Yeah, it is.
It's all supposition at this point on my part.
Not good. I think it could lead to a larger escalation for sure.
Yeah.
Berlin agrees to send tanks to Ukraine, but they're not going to be much help.
It's pretty funny.
The German government made headlines in recent days by agreeing to do something that has refused to do since the end of World War II, get offensively involved in a European conflict. According to reports, Berlin has agreed to send tanks to Ukraine as Kyiv continues to fight off the Russian onslaught. But a closer look at the details proves that all that Germany is really doing is unloading museum pieces and relics that are long past their useful service life and are no match for nearly any weapon system that the Russians are fielding. The German government said Tuesday it will deliver anti-aircraft tanks to Ukraine after facing strong pressure at home and abroad to abandon its reluctance to supply heavy weapons to Kyiv. The decision to provide the Gepard tanks, I don't know how to pronounce that, which come from the German defense industry stocks, was made at a closed-door government meeting on Monday. Defense Minister Christine Lambrecht told reporters at a Ukraine security conference at the U.S. airbase in Ramstein, Germany. Very interesting.
They're like, here, you can have our junk.
Yeah, and Russia is just destroying these things as they come into Ukraine and obliterating it.
Yeah, they're, like I said, they're not accomplishing anything by doing this.
And of course, we see further escalation, Andrea.
Yep, breaking. Finland makes final decision on applying for NATO membership. After Russia invaded Ukraine in February, Finland announced that it would consider applying for NATO membership. Finland and NATO have historically had close ties, but Finland has not seriously considered NATO membership since the 2006 presidential elections, where it was a hotly debated issue. After considering NATO membership for the last 2 months, Finland announced today that it has formally decided to apply to join the military alliance. The Epoch Times reported the government of Finland announced Sunday that it is planning to apply for NATO membership in a move that is likely to irk Moscow amid the months-long conflict in Ukraine. Ahead of the planned announcement, Russian officials lodged threats against the Scandinavian country, which shares a lengthy border with Russia and has long held a position of neutrality. During the Cold War, both Finland and neighboring Sweden kept out of NATO, but the governments of both countries have said they have reconsidered their stance on the military alliance amid the Russia-Ukraine war. So this is not good. This is just more escalation. And we know that Putin does not want eastward expansion of NATO anymore. And so he's going to see this as a conflict. And he's going to see this as escalation, and he's not going to take kindly to it.
No. He actually said that Sweden and Finland NATO bid is no threat to Russia, but may trigger a response. Mm-hmm. President Vladimir Putin said Monday that while Russia does not see Finland and Sweden's decision to join NATO as a threat, deployment of military infrastructure there might trigger a response from Moscow. The expansion of NATO to Sweden and Finland poses no direct threat for us, but the expansion of military infrastructure to these territories will certainly provoke our response, Putin said during a televised summit meeting of the Collective Security Treaty Organization. The Moscow-led military alliance includes six countries of the former Soviet Union: Russia, Belarus, Armenia, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and Tajikistan. This is a problem that is created completely artificially because it is done in the foreign policy interest of the United States, Putin said, adding that NATO has become a foreign policy instrument of one country. All this exacerbates an already difficult international security environment, Putin said. Finland and Sweden are poised to jettison decades of military non-alignment to join NATO as a defense against feared aggression from Russia after Moscow sent troops into Ukraine on February 24th. Finland announced its intention to join NATO on Sunday as Sweden's ruling party said it backed membership, paving the way for joint application. One of Russia's justifications for the military campaign in Ukraine was the encroachment of NATO towards its western borders. However, Moscow will now see Finland, with which Russia shares a 800-mile border, join the alliance. Speaking at the CSTO meeting hosted in Moscow, Belarusian president and close Putin ally Alexander Lukashenko was the only other leader from the six-nation bloc to address the NATO expansion and back military action in Ukraine. quote, NATO is aggressively building up its muscles, yesterday drawing in the neutral Finland and Sweden, said Lukashenko, who in February allowed Russia troops to enter Ukraine from Belarusian territory. He also accused Washington of a desire to prolong as much as possible the conflict in Ukraine. Without the speedy rallying of other countries, there may be no tomorrow, Lukashenko said. Earlier on Monday, the Kremlin said Finland and Sweden's NATO membership would not improve security in Europe, while Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Rybkov called it a grave mistake with far-reaching consequences.
Yeah, this is, you know, this is escalation, bottom line, plain and simple.
I think the corruption...
Russia is not going to take kindly to this because you know that they're going to come in, they're going to try to establish military infrastructure in Finland and Sweden to use against Russia. And it is. It's going to be perpetrated by the United States. And that's really where we sit. And it's...
I think that Finnish and... what's the other country? Finland Sweden. And Sweden. Yeah, Swedish and Finnish people, I think, are as corrupt as all these other countries are, like the U.S. Yeah. And this is why they're joining NATO, is because they're so ingrained and involved with the corruption over the years that they're either all in or they're toast, basically. Yeah. So, of course, they're going to join NATO. This is going to escalate. And eventually it's going to lead to a larger conflict, it looks like, between them joining NATO and with Russia saying they're going to denazify other countries next. This really could lead to a broader kinetic conflict between many nations. And when that happens, it's going to be an opportunity for even more conflict of parties that aren't even involved in other countries, whether that be Asia and Africa, South America, etc. You name it. World War IV.
That's where we're heading.
I don't know.
You know, and it's, I mean, who knows? Who really knows what's going to happen? We can't,
it's
best to prepare, but none of us know. Like, I don't know if or when World War III is going to happen.
It's happening. I think it's happening.
Well, right. But as far as the kinetic part of it and
full blown,
obvious. You know, we're going to see action on American soil. I don't know that that's ever going to happen. I sure as heck hope it doesn't, for everyone's sake. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is something that stays isolated into the eastern part of Europe and Western Asia. You know, I hope stays over there and there's something that can bring an end to these conflicts.
And there's no way to know. And I think that really it could go any direction. This could be the biggest nuclear war the world ever sees and go into nuclear winter, or it could kind of be quelled. And I think that's part of the reason why I think it's important to cover these things and talk about it, because it's developing. It could veer off in any direction, and it depends on what happens now. So I think anything could happen.
And we just got to continue looking at the narrative and see where it leads.
For sure. Absolutely.
Yep.
All right.
Oh,
I thought we were closer to the end than that, but here we go. Health.
All right. Dr. Robert Malone and 17,000 doctors call to end the national emergency, restore scientific integrity, and address crimes against humanity.
This was cool. There were some main points down here that were great. If we want to just go through those instead of the article's kind of lengthy. But this is basically the outline of what they declared.
All right. So one, this is, we declare and the data confirm that the COVID-19 experimental genetic therapy injections must end. Two, we declare doctors should not be blocked from providing life-saving medical treatment. Three, we declare the state of national emergency, which facilitates corruption and extends a pandemic, should be immediately terminated. Four, we declare a medical privacy should never again be violated and all travel and social restrictions must cease. 5, we declare masks are not and have never been effective protection against an airborne respiratory virus in the community setting. 6, we declare funding and research must be established for vaccination damage, death, and suffering. 7, we declare no opportunity should be denied, including education, career, military service, or medical treatment over unwillingness to take an injection. 8, we declare that the First Amendment violations and medical censorship by government, technology, and media companies should cease and the Bill of Rights be upheld. 9, we declare that Pfizer, Moderna, BioNTech, Janssen, AstraZeneca, and their enablers withheld and willfully omitted safety and effectiveness information from patients and physicians and should be immediately indicted for fraud. 10, we declare government and medical agencies must be held accountable.
Yes.
Absolutely. Now, will anything come of this? Who knows? Not probably under this corrupt administration.
Hopefully one day.
Yeah, being that we've got 17,000 doctors speaking out and speaking up is a relief.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. It's not nearly as much because you got to remember how many doctors are in the United States. Way more than 17,000. I can assure you of that. And to see the American people, I think on a whole, for the most part, have no faith in our medical system anymore.
No.
I don't. No. I have no interest in going to a doctor.
Most people I talk to don't. People that are asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the time.
Exactly. Yeah. It's scary. I mean, when you go to the doctor and people are worried about dying in a hospital, I mean, when is that ever okay?
Never.
You know, I mean, there's always risks with surgery and certain different things like that. But if you go to the doctor for a respiratory illness, dying shouldn't be something you worry about.
No.
And people are.
Well, it's because they have protocols that are deadly, like remdesivir, which nurses and doctors are forced to use on people. Unless they're one of the doctors or nurses that stood up and said, I'm not doing it, and then suffered the consequences of losing your job. That's how they coerce everybody into this nonsense. Our medical industry has huge issues. I don't get involved with them because of it. Hopefully I never have to rely on them because I don't trust them.
Yeah.
They don't deserve it.
You know, and Holly posted something on the platform the other day that I thought was important. Mm-hmm. She was saying, if you think that there's freedom here, then you're wrong, because doctors all over the U.S., if you're in the medical profession at all, you can't find a job unless you're jabbed.
Right.
That's the bottom line, is that. And so that in itself to me is scary, mm-hmm. based on the fact that if you go to the doctor, your doctor is most likely jabbed. What happens to these people who are in the middle of a surgery operating on someone and they have a stroke in the operating room?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that in itself, you're not going to see too much of that as far as, you know, oh, I went in for, you know, my annual checkup, my yearly checkup, and my doctor had a stroke. In his office, you know. But if you think about all the surgeons and all the surgeries that happen all over the United States all the time, and from heart surgeries to brain surgeries to, I mean, any kind of surgery you can imagine that are life-threatening.
Yeah.
And something happens. It's
scary. Compromised the whole medical industry.
Yeah. It has. And there's far-reaching repercussions that I don't think most people have even thought about.
It's compromised every industry, if you really think about it.
Yep.
Bill Gates says adults over 50 will probably have to get COVID boosters every 6 months until we get better vaccines. Look at how shitty Bill Gates looks.
That's not Bill Gates.
That's what they say.
Oh, that does not look like him.
Why is
that is weird?
Yeah, it is. Why is Microsoft billionaire Bill Gates giving medical advice on national television? He's not a doctor. Bill Gates this weekend appeared on CNN and told Anderson Cooper's audience that people over the age of 50 will probably have to get COVID boosters every 6 months. He is an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about. There is a video, but we're not going to watch it. Yeah, they probably have to get boosted every 6 months until we have better vaccines, so we're in for ongoing vaccination to stay absolutely safe. Blasphemy, bullshit, nope, nobody's taking them. Sorry.
Screw you, Bill Gates.
Seriously.
That's all I have to say. All right, and more Dr. Fauci. This guy is just absolutely unbelievable. Dr. Fauci plays race card. Says Black Americans are not safe from COVID-19 yet compared to white people. Come the hell on. Give me a break. It says, why is this man still walking free? That's a really good question. Dr. Anthony Fauci is now trying to play the race card to regain some attention just in time for the election. Dr. Fauci told The Root on Friday that Black Americans are in danger in the case that a more aggressive variant appears. So apparently these variants are able to determine your skin color now?
That's well, some smart. Of them could be genetically targeted.
Agreed.
But this is a part, to me, it's obvious this is a part of the race baiting that we see happen with every politician, every news agency, and every story coming out now. It's all about race. Why is it always about race? Because they want us fighting. But I'll tell you what. I don't care what anybody says. I love everybody, and I hate everybody equal.
Exactly. Yeah, I hate everybody equal. I love everybody. You know, and it's you do have to wonder, though. Are these genetically modified to target a certain race, I guess you could say, or is this just more race baiting? You know, it's really hard to say. It's scary.
You want to know the truth real quick? What I think.
I want to know what you think.
I think that there may be some truth behind Black people, Black populations being more unhealthy based on wealth, based on geographic locations and things like this, okay? That's where they come up with, you know, climate change is racist because it affects Black people more. It's like they have the data that shows these kinds of things in a weird way. I think making it about race is totally nefarious, though.
I think the reason that we see a lot of this stuff based on race has nothing to do with culture as much as it has to do with policies that are in place that were put there by elected officials to keep people down. So I really think it's all manufactured on some level because the Democrats have managed to hijack a huge portion of the Black population and convince them that they have their best interests at heart. Yet you see the biggest levels of genocide with abortion. Most of your abortion clinics are in predominantly Black neighborhoods. Your low income communities that are predominantly Black, because you have low income communities in the white neighborhoods too, right?
Yeah.
But when you see that, they're always Democrat politicians. And so really what it is their policies that are put in place that are designed to keep people down, to design to keep people on a system of oppression, and that needs to stop.
Yeah.
Yep. There is no Dr. Ben Carson, who is somebody that I greatly admire, grew up in the ghetto and had a mother that was kind of absent and stuff. You know, he pretty much raised himself, was in a neighborhood that was highly gang infiltrated and stuff like that, and pulled himself out and decided to make every single human being has the potential to do that. You just have to want to.
It's a lot of work. But
when you're in an area, and this goes for white people too, really not a race thing. It's a policy thing, in my opinion. And that's the part that's so frustrating about it.
Yeah, there's
change
a lot.
Change these policies and you change people's lives.
There's a lot of white people that I've heard talk about, I grew up in the ghetto and I didn't know that there was white privilege. If there was white privilege or whatever, then nobody freaking told me because I was as poor as my Black neighbor. And it's like, why would I be living here if this was...
I grew up extremely poor. Like, my mom counted pennies to go to the grocery store. There were times my dad went to work without lunch so that his family could eat. We didn't have any. I didn't know what store-bought bread tasted like until I was a teenager, because my mom made all of our bread because we couldn't afford store-bought bread. So I know what growing up poor is like. And I could have let my childhood affect my future and said, oh, poor pity me, I'm nothing but a poor loser. But I didn't. I said, you know what? I'm smart, I'm capable, and I worked really hard to get where I'm at in my life. And I may not be the top of the food chain, but I'm certainly not struggling like I was when I was a kid. I'm able to provide a much better life for my child now than what my parents were able to provide back then.
Yeah.
So we can all change our own life. It doesn't matter what color we are. And I hate the race baiting stuff.
Me too.
And I really hope that they're not targeting people based on genetics.
Yeah. McDirty Work just donated 3 lemons. Thank you, McDirty Work. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate all of your donations. I think we're almost through the news. I know we're running a little bit over.
We'll wrap it up here soon. California to start vaccinating 12-year-olds without parental consent. California, come on.
Piss
me off. Senate Bill 866 in California has passed, allowing children as young as 12 to now get vaccinated without their parents' knowledge or consent. How is this even allowed? I don't know. Senator Scott Wiener, a Democrat from San Francisco, who authored the bill, tweeted nonchalantly that California law already allows children aged 12 to 17 to the freedom to get jabs for HPV and hepatitis B, as well as to access birth control and abortion care.
It's so disgusting.
It's despicable. SB 866 builds on the existing law to expand vaccine access, he added, pretending that this is all somehow normal. It's not normal.
Nope.
People are objecting. This needs to go away. This is terrible. They are taking advantage of young minds, and this could cost them their lives. It's an experimental injection.
Children that age do not have the mental capacity to make the kind of decisions that is required to be made. They just don't. Their brains are still developing. I don't care how smart of a kid you are. I wasn't capable of making my own health decisions at 12 years old or even 17 years old. I mean, it's just absolutely unbelievable to think that they're allowing this stuff and that people are okay with it.
It's just so Big Pharma could get their checks.
Yep.
And they could kill more people. This is not good for health. Look at the data. It's all there.
Yep. It's genocide.
U.S. senator hospitalized following stroke. Holy mackerel.
This was a Democrat senator. U.S. Senator Chris Van Hollen, Democrat out of Maryland, was hospitalized over the weekend after suffering a stroke. Van Hollen, 63, the second Democrat senator to suffer a stroke in recent months, was admitted to George Washington University Hospital after experiencing lightheadedness and severe neck pain while giving a speech in Western Maryland, probably from the jab. And angiogram indicated that I had experienced a minor stroke in the form of a small venous tear at the beach of my head, Van Hollen said in a statement late May 15th. Fortunately, I have been informed that there are no long-term effects or damage as a result of this incident, but my doctors have advised that out of an abundance of caution, I remain under observation for a few days. I don't think it actually says anything about him taking the jab in here. I assume that he has.
I thought he was triple jabbed.
Probably.
And there was another
Senator Ben Ray Lujan, a Democrat out of New Mexico, suffered a stroke in January and was not able to perform all of his duties for over a month. He was only 49. So there was also Pennsylvania Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman, who's running for a Senate seat, was hospitalized with a stroke. His campaign announced over the weekend. So Now we're starting to see a lot more of this. You know, these congressmen and senators who are jabbed, you have to wonder if they received the real jab, or if there's two layers to this. Let's say there's a non-lethal version of it, you know, and a lethal version of it. It makes you wonder if they're going to be able to put two and two together and finally start doing something and say, you know what, this is really dangerous. Or if they're really just as brainwashed as everybody else when it comes to this stuff, you know, it's really hard to say, but you would think that going through something like this, being triple jabbed, that you would look at it and go, well, crap, I wonder if there's some truth to these conspiracy theories. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't know if they're seeing any of that or not.
Some of them are super, super brainwashed. And I saw an example of this on Twitter this morning. Somebody mm-hmm. shared a snip from Facebook where their friend said, or somebody they know, oh, I got my booster. I couldn't walk for a week. I was fucked up, couldn't walk, all these problems from the jab, but I'm thankful I got it, and my friend who got it with me is fine, and I recommend you all get it. It's like,
they're
what
not
the
even
fuck?
Putting two and two together. It's no. Like, it's like being around somebody that's sick, catching a cold, and being like, oh, I'm sure I didn't get it from them. This was totally random.
Yeah. So,
I mean, who does that?
I think a lot of them are that brainwashed, and they're being used. They're being used, period.
Yeah. I have a hard time buying that, though, with government officials.
Why? I mean, look at it. They're having strokes.
Right. But
they want to destroy the system, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just crazy. I'm not sure.
Maybe they're lying. I don't know. Your government quietly confirmed the fully vaccinated are developing acquired immunodeficiency syndrome while they had you worried about Russia, Ukraine, and the cost of living. Something is very wrong, and it's because of the COVID-19 injections all around the world. Governments are publishing official data that show the same thing. Those same governments, however, are not willing to explain why. Instead, they are quietly publishing data in the hope that it will get swept under the carpet whilst they have you distracted by the war in Ukraine and worrying about the cost of living, a crisis created by government policy. But with the publication of confidential Pfizer documents, governments around the world are running out of places to hide. And if these worrying trends continue, they'll be forced to admit the COVID-19 injections are either causing antibody dependent enhancement or something much worse, acquired immunodeficiency syndrome, AIDS. Whilst rare, it's perfectly possible for a medication or drug to cause acquired immunodeficiency syndrome, and data published by Public Health Scotland and New Zealand Ministry of Health, the Government of Canada, the UK Security Agency, the Office for National Statistics, and the US Centers for Disease Control strongly suggest the COVID-19 injections should be added to the list.
But they're not doing it, are they?
No, and here's a lot of data here. We'll publish this on redpills.tv if you want to look into this data further and share it and look at it. Ugh. Lastly.
It's just sickening.
Disgusting.
Yep, so the last one we have. This one was funny. It says, new government study finds cleaner air leads to more Atlantic hurricanes. A new study conducted by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, a federal agency focused on the condition of the oceans and the atmosphere, found that cleaner air is leading to more hurricanes. The study was written by Hiroki Murakami and published in Science Advances on Wednesday, a peer-reviewed, multidisciplinary, open-access scientific journal. A 50% decrease in pollution particles and droplets in Europe and the U.S. is linked to a 33% increase in Atlantic storm formation in the past couple decades, while the opposite is happening in the Pacific with more pollution and fewer typhoons. So this is just more government propaganda regarding the Green New Deal.
Fake science ties into
weather manipulation. The truth of the matter is that they're going to keep pushing their Green New Deal, their green agenda, to tax the hell out of you, because that's how you get rid of pollution, is by paying more taxes. And they're going to manipulate the weather because they're trying to create one crisis after another. And so, you know, we saw last year, this was really odd because I'm in the north, and so I don't really experience a lot of the stuff that the south does. But I do know a little bit about weather patterns and some of the stuff that goes on. And I know that tornadoes and stuff of those of that nature usually happen in the spring, so in between spring and summer. Last year, we saw tornadoes that were happening between late summer and early winter, like clear into the fall, which is not usual at all. Even people in the south were coming out and saying, we're under a tornado warning. What is going on? Like, it wasn't normal. You see much bigger storms, much more dangerous storms, and it has nothing to do with a drop in pollution. It has everything to do with weather manipulation. And I really think that's what it is, because they're trying to create crises.
Yep, for sure. So make sure that you guys prepare. As you know, one of our sponsors is My Patriot Supply, which is great for emergency food storage. You got, if you shop there, it helps us out. If you go to redpills.tv/patriot, help us out, help us help you. You support decentralized news media while preparing yourself for emergencies like hurricanes, earthquakes, food shortages, etc.
Yep.
redpills.tv/patriot. Just go there using that link and you are automatically supporting us. They have some deals running. Check them out. Long-term short-term food storage, water purification, everything you can imagine is there. Seeds. So check it out. redpills.tv/patriot. Thank you, everybody, for utilizing our sponsors and tuning in as part of your daily routine to see what's going on in the world. Please make sure you tune in tonight for Joshua Reed's Daily Dose, where he uncovers the unfolding global conspiracy further and looks deep into these things that we see unfolding today and over the weekend. Definitely going to want to check that out. Andrea, sure. any parting words for this wonderful Monday?
I would just say, you know, keep your head on a swivel and prepare as best you can. I think weather wars is definitely a thing, for whatever that's worth. And you know, it's, here's my thought. Mm-hmm. It's better to have it and not need it than it is to need it and not have it.
Yeah. Agreed.
So, if you stock up and you got 2 years worth of food, just think about all the money you're saving during a time of inflationary period, and you don't have to go to the grocery store because you've already got it all.
Yeah. For sure. It's interesting to see this all unfold.
Really?
Yeah. We'll see what happens, everybody. Stay safe out there. Stay salty. Keep your head on a swivel, like Andrea said. Great advice. Enjoy your week. Don't take life too seriously, all right?
Try to laugh.
Yeah, yep. Try to laugh. Have a good time. I'll see you all on the Red Pill app at socialredpill.com. Definitely say hi over there. I'll be in and out. Thank you all for joining us once again. We'll be back again, same bat place, same bat time, and hope to see you there, everybody. Take care. Have a great day.